Chapter 22. Remembering is just an invention of the mind. Spring is sprung, Freak says, and so are we. This is the day school gets out, and we're taking the long way home. By now, I've been carrying him around on my shoulders for almost a year. We call it walking high, and even if we haven't been going on any dangerous quests lately, so the fair Gwyn won't have to throw a fit, Freak hasn't exactly given up on slaying dragons. The world is really and truly green all over, he says. Do you remember when it used to be like back in the Ice Age when the glaciers covered the earth and the saber-toothed tiger roamed the frozen night? No, I say. How can I remember that? I wasn't even born. Don't be a pinhead, he says. Remembering is just an invention of the mind. I go, what is that supposed to mean? It means that if you want to, you can remember anything, whether it happened or not. Like, I can remember what it was like in the Ice Age. I kept trying to invent stuff, the wheel, central heating, indoor plumbing, but the Neanderthals, they were happy with just a campfire and a fur coat. If you guessed that Freak has been reading a book about the Ice Age, you're right. He's been seeing a saber-toothed tiger behind every bush, except for that so far, all of them have turned out to be stray cats, or once it was this skunk, and it's a good thing I can run fast, or we would have had to soak in tomato juice, which is the only way to get rid of the stink. Inventing electricity would be tough, he says, without copper wire and magnets, but I can handle inventing a compass. All you have to do is rub the needle. That way everybody could head south and get away from the glaciers. First you need to invent a time machine, I say, so you can go back there and give all those cavemen a hard time about indoor plumbing. Freak goes, you don't need a time machine if you know how to remember, which is something I'll always remember him saying, that and me trying to figure it out. Freak's birthday is a couple days after school gets out, and the fair Gwyn has already made it clear that he's not getting to ride on the space shuttle. 13 is supposed to be extra special, he says. The least you could do is get my name on the list, or how about a linear accelerator? Just a small one so I can split a few atoms. Fair Gwyn's, I suppose this means you're going to be an obnoxious teenager. The deal is, this is really two birthdays for the price of one, because Freak the Mighty is almost a year old. Talk about a prodigy, Freak says. 1 year old and already he's on his way to ninth grade. The Fair Gwyn just rolls her eyes when we talk like that. Freak says we can't expect her to understand, because you can't really get what it means to be Freak the Mighty, unless you are Freak the Mighty. Anyhow, the party is just a family affair because Freak isn't supposed to get overexcited, which is like saying the moon isn't supposed to go around the earth. Last year I got an ornithopter, he says. This year, why not a helicopter? A real one, though. You can't expect a teenager to play with toys. Why not a jet plane, the Fair Gwyn says. Cool, Freak says. A Learjet? What he's really getting, and I've been sworn to secrecy, is this new computer, the one he's been drooling over in his computer magazines. It comes with a modem, which means if he has to stay home for some reason, he can go to the school over the telephone. The idea is I'd be there in the classroom with a matching computer. The only problem, I don't know squid about computers. You'll learn, the Fair Gwyn says. Kevin will teach you. But why would he have to stay at home, I ask her. We're out in the kitchen, and she and Graham are frosting the cakes, and Freak is hanging out in the living room, acting like he intends to have a party every day for the rest of his life. Maybe you won't have to stay home, the Fair Gwyn says, and she and Graham kind of lock eyes for a second, that secret code that mothers have. This is just in case, Max. I think maybe he already guessed about the computer, I say. That's why he's jerking your chain about the space shuttle ride and the Learjets. I'm not surprised, the Fair Gwyn says. You can't keep anything from Kevin. Freak hardly touches his supper. He says he's saving his appetite for the cake. And finally we're all done eating, except for Grim, who keeps rubbing his belly and rolling his eyes and telling the Fair Gwyn what a genius she is with fresh peas and new potatoes and salmon, and that he'll just have a smidgen more, thanks, until finally Graham clears her throat and smiles, and Grim has to apologize for being such a pig. The funny thing is, when at last they do bring out the cake, Freak asks me to flame out the candles while he makes a wish, and then he sort of doesn't even touch his piece. He just sort of pushes it around the plate. I figure he's so excited about getting the new computer that he's lost his appetite. Not that he's letting on he doesn't feel good. He's just acting wise and smart as he's just acting as wise and smart mouth as ever. I should have asked for earplugs, he says, when we're done singing Happy Birthday. You better check that glassware for cracks. Hush up, the fair Gwen says, or we'll give you another course. When she brings out the computer, he acts so surprised and happy. Maybe he really is surprised. Right away, he wants to turn it on and show off what a brain he is. And because it's his birthday, we all have to sit there and admire him and go, amazing and fantastic. And Kevin, how do you know how to do that? And so on. He's showing Grim how to play 3D chess, and just watching that makes me dizzy. So after a while, I go to the kitchen and help clean up, which is something I'm good at. Maxwell never breaks a dish, Graham is saying. He's very sure-handed for someone so large. We're almost done putting stuff away and wiping the counter when Grim shouts from the other room. All he says is, Kevin! But we can tell right away that something is wrong. We run in and Freak is leaning back in his chair, making this wheezing sound, panting real fast, and his eyelids are flickering. He's having a seizure, Grim says. Call an ambulance. The fair Gwen is already on the phone. I run out in the street and start waving my arms and jumping up and down so they'll know where to stop. And I keep running back in the house to check on things. But the fair Gwen says there's nothing we can do except wait.